Speaking of overplayed Canadian music, here's Nickelback. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. After we trashed Rush and the Hip, let's move to Nickelback. Who's next? Shania Twain? Bieber?
It's a case to be made for Bieber. Here's what we do in Canada. We love them when they're in the bus and they can't pay for their rent. And then as soon as they're buying jets, we hate them.
What? They're successful now? Sellouts.
Let's turn on them. Never liked that Celine Dion.
I'm joking, by the way.
Joking on what?
Teach their own on taste of music.
Unless it's Rush.
I've seen Rush live. They were fun. That was a good time. Anyways, our Chapel Roan correspondent, Britton Gray, is here, Green Zone Rider reporter, who was just showing me a clip of Chapel Roan.
By the way, is that new? What you just showed us?
So all the comments were only from like 3 hours, 2 hours, 50 minutes.
But
so
she was on an Apple Music podcast. She promised. She said, I promise I will play in Regina, Saskatchewan. She said it on the podcast
today. Regina.
Yes.
Which means she's already had conversations about the possibility of doing a show here. I still don't think she's a mosaic.
Also got brought up that maybe a statue should be erected of her here. She is driving tourism. Let's get a statue
of Deadpool first in Regina, and then maybe we'll think about Chapel Roan.
So hold on, back up. Help me out here. What's the Deadpool connection with Regina? I forget.
In the movie, he lines up to punt a guy's head and says, from Regina, Saskatchewan.
That's right. That's right. Okay. I remember.
There we go. Because but Chapel Roan just said, Britton just brought that information in.
We had a huge fight years ago about the connection, Wolverine. And Alberta, mm-hmm. and whether or not so I was wondering what the Deadpool thing was.
Yeah. So we'll get the Deadpool statue up first in Regina, and then maybe move on to Chapel Roan.
Do we have to change how we pronounce Saskatchewan? Because it's Saskatchewan, but for the song, it had to be Juan for rhyme with gone. So Saskatchewan?
Well, Corb Lund says long gone to Saskatchewan.
Juwan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we just accept that for what it is.
By the way, we still have that playlist.
Oh, the Green Zone Saskatchewan summer playlist. Did you update it with Chapel Roan's new?
I did.
The subway.
I did last week. I think it was actually Britton had sent
a note. Artists from Saskatchewan and songs that reference Saskatchewan are on that playlist.
Yes, yeah, it's called the Green Zone Saskatchewan Road Trip Playlist. And how many songs?
I could have used that playlist when I hosted the show on Saskatchewan Day. I wanted to do that. I had three songs, and I was like, well, I'm out of ideas. Let's play some Fall Out Boy.
We have a whole list for you for next time, Britton.
Yeah, we got, I think we got 50 songs on here. We have songs that mention Saskatchewan or songs from artists that are from here. So there's everything in here. We got a couple of Coulter Wall tunes on there. We got some Wide Mouth Mason. We got Kick-Ax, baby. The Real McKenzies, One Bad Son. Real Statics have a song called Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
They're from Ontario.
I think Joel Plaskett might be on there, too. Anyways, Britton Gray's here, Green Zone Rider Reporter.
What's the Plastic song? Did I put that in there?
City and Color mentioned Saskatchewan.
Yes.
I have the City and Color tune in here.
Yeah. But speaking of Saskatchewan and big things to do in the summer in Saskatchewan, going to Rider games, 1 o'clock, family day, nearing a sellout for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Britton, bring us up to speed on the Riders. What do we got when it comes to injuries? Anybody coming back?
Kind of. Daniel Johnson is limited now, so he's set to maybe start doing full, though they really like Peyton Collins at left tackle. Outside of that, I have nothing to really report there. That the guys who were injured, still not even working along the sidelines, though I think CJ Avery's getting really close to being out there now. There was a moment where I thought maybe he was working before the team kind of gets into full practice, but then didn't see him out there. He was working along the sidelines. He came out, started running along the sidelines, doing some more rehab work. So he's inching closer, which brings another kind of interesting scenario they might have to deal with in terms of the ratio.
It will be interesting once some of the wide receivers that are out and hurt start making their way back into the lineup, especially like what if Joe Robeson, if Found Money has another like huge game on Saturday, what do you do? And how much does the ratio play into this? Like
when Sam Emelis, Kean Schaefer-Baker return,
yeah.
So how does it trickle out?
This team wanted three Canadian wide receivers. That's how they started their season. That's how they kind of wanted the ratio to work. I don't know if you could pull Joe Robustelli. So now all of a sudden, Dell Duncan Busby, the kind of promising young receiver, you have to wonder if he maybe has to take a step back as Kean Schaefer-Baker returns. And then what do you do there? So they get paid to make those decisions. We just get to criticize them when they come out. So,
yeah. Good question.
If it doesn't work out, we criticize.
So, question about that ratio. How many teams in the CFL do that, do the three wide receiver? Or is Saskatchewan the only one that's doing that? Like, is that
I don't even know. I think they were the only ones rolling out three Canadian wide receivers. It's not often a team reaches three wide receivers, Canadians, that they feel really comfortable with.
You wouldn't have
going
to do that in BC with Nathan Rourke.
Well, no, that they have almost their entire receiving corps. Well, I guess you have Javon Katoy and Justin McInnes as their two. Some teams have two. Many teams have two. Every so often, I believe the Stampeders had three at one point with Philpott, Barnes, and Alford.
Alford came in when Barnes got hurt, so Alford wasn't even. Three is really tough. You don't see a lot of teams roll out three Canadians. That's why we were so impressed when the Riders felt comfortable doing that, because
back in.
The ratio flexibility you have if you have three Canadian wide receivers who are starting quality, immense. Teams would love that.
Meanwhile, C.J. Avery, going back to the linebacker who was my pick to have a breakout season, then he got hurt in week one. He is eligible to return week 13, Labor Day, against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So if that means he'd be eligible to return to practice next week. You can return 1 week before you're eligible to come off. So it'll be someone to watch. And even that will play into the ratio because A.J. Allen, the Canadian, has that spot.
And he's been playing really well. A.J. Yep. Allen has really been coming along. So interesting times. Like, this team has some flexibility if they want it. But I'm not sure that the receiver thing, I think, is going to be really interesting when both Kean Schaefer-Baker and Sam Emelis are back out there.
I found it interesting when we heard the audio from Corey Mace today written about, and you didn't hold back. You were like, okay, Pads, is this because of your first buy return? And he didn't hesitate. Has the coaching staff always been this honest in the past?
Yes, to an, like, we can talk about the injury updates Corey May sometimes provides us.
That's true in terms of
honesty, but he's willing to admit that, yeah, what Calgary did makes them a little hesitant about that happening again. He said it played a little bit of a role. Corey Mace also very much knows how to push these guys' buttons, right? That's how something we really like about Corey Mace. Yeah. He knows when to yell at guys, when to do the extra discipline. He's really good at picking his spots. And I think this was
song
just
and
a
dance
perfect
routine
spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go into honesty, but I think that he's willing to come out and say, yes, we need to improve this.
Britton Gray is here with us. We started the conversation talking about this latest tune by Chapel Roan. Chapel Roan just said this on an Apple Music podcast.
I've never been there, but I promise I will perform there one day.
You have to.
Also just love that the capital is called Regina.
There you go. She said she promises. Chapel Roan in Saskatchewan. That's the news Britton Gray brings to you every day here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
About to prove today, would I please? of living is gone. Say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is
gone. Damian Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Earlier today, they announced a few officials on the women's tournament that will be heading to Italy in Milano Cortina d'Ampezzo, Italy, for the Olympic Games coming up in February. They announced 10 Canadian officials from Hockey Canada, 5 referees, 5 linespersons, and of that group, Sienna Leffers and Michelle McKenna from Cudworth and Moose Jaw at Hockey Saskatchewan, 2 of the 5 referees that'll be heading over. And then 2 linespersons from Saskatchewan, Alex Clark out of Drake, Saskatchewan, and Terrington Yonzik out of Yorkton. Both Hockey Saskatchewan officials have been chosen for the officiating roster for the 2026 Olympic Winter Games in Italy.
Nice.
In a couple of months. Yeah, the Winter Olympics coming up hot. Here.
Wow.
Of course, it was a few weeks ago they announced the...
Well, the summer's almost over, so why not bring on winter in the Olympics?
Careful. It's don't say summer's almost
well,
over.
Are you kidding me? It's August already.
That's fine. We don't want to live in reality. Live in an oasis of summer's going to last forever in Saskatchewan, okay?
We're like 2 weeks away from the Labor Day Classic. It went too quick.
Went too quick. I can't believe, like, we're like thinking of back to
Stop it.
Back to shopping. Yeah. Gross.
Although some people think of that as a bit of a break. Back to a more secure routine at home.
Yeah, there are those who love routine. I am not one of those people.
Really?
No.
Didn't notice that.
Not a creature of routine at all. I can change things up on a whim, and it doesn't really bother me that much. Meanwhile, congratulations, those 4 officials going to Italy for the Winter Olympics coming up. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone, getting some of the texts in. We had the conversation of...
Well, we were talking about our Saskatchewan road trip playlist,
yes,
which I built on Spotify. And if you are interested, I can send you the link. It's a quick search. It'll come up if you search it. I left it public, but I can also text you the link. So,
Ken, by the way, does your playlist include Guess Who's Running Back to Saskatchewan?
Yes, it does.
That might have been one of the first ones we added to said playlist.
And I did not know that the lead guitar player from Kickaxe passed away. So that's sad news, but we do have a couple of Kickaxe tunes on there as well.
Also on the Green Zone, we've been debating who gets the MOP nod for the Rough Riders, Trevor Harris? Is it Bo Levi Mitchell of the Hamilton Tiger Cats? So we've had an interesting conversation about that. Somebody says there's a big difference between MOP and MVP.
Well, you mentioned that.
And the league award in the Canadian Football League is the most outstanding player. And that's why I'd side with Bo Levi Mitchell.
That's an interesting distinction because I think you do hit on something because
trending at almost 6,000 yards and over 40 touchdowns, that is an outstanding season.
So now, that's why you're leaning on Bo.
If there's the most valuable player,
it might be Trevor.
I'd probably side a little bit more so with Trevor Harris or even Vernon Adams Jr.
I was just going to say, does that change the conversation about Vernon Adams Jr.?
Because the Riders did get a win without Trevor Harris, and I'm sorry, Calgary looked like, to quote Luke Wilson, hot garbage when PJ Walker.
Where did everybody have the Stampeders ahead of this season?
Like 5-6 wins?
With the turnover from last year on the management side of things. And
I was talking to somebody I know in Calgary before the season, and we put the line at 8.5 wins for the Calgary Stampeders. They're almost there, and it's not even September yet.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I didn't bet to do anything.
Well, and Vernon Adams, he's a good looking player. He's fun to watch. He can throw the ball and he can run. He's very mobile.
I think BC Lions would have done a lot of damage last year if they didn't mess around at the quarterback position. and stuck with Vern and rather than force Nathan Rourke to come back so quick. Meanwhile, tonight, Cairns Field, the place to be. It's the Saskatoon Berries, the Regina Red Sox. It's the third and final game of the East Final. Of course, the Berries forced the deciding game through with an 8-4 win last night in the Queen City. The Rough Riders were back to practice today. The pads were on. Little intensity ratcheted up after the bye week, getting set for the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Saturday afternoon. Still trending towards the potential of their first sellout of the season for the green and white. And the Jays at it right now in Toronto against the Chicago Cubs. I saw Alejandro Kirk's already doing some damage today as the Jays lead 1-0 in the top of the second. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the ear in the green zone, watching the Jays beating the Cubs right now 1-0. Locker's yelling at the television like the players can hear him. You're a TV screamer, Locke, when you're watching sports, aren't
you? This is going to come as a surprise to you and many Green Zone listeners. Yeah. I find new and exciting ways to be annoying all the time. Yes, I yell at the TV.
I wonder if I do.
Hockey's bad. Are you trying to convince me here right now, legitimately, that you're not a yeller at home in front of the TV? You yell in front of the computer screen when you read a story that upsets you.
Well, that's because you're in the room to engage in conversation. I don't
need to be there.
I don't think I react all that much to live sports. Like you screaming,
stop it! Get down
with the ball, little flutter ball to the outfield.
I want to talk to your family right now. Get one of them on the phone right now. It doesn't matter which one.
I think I react with like a come on or oh my god when something like, but I don't think it's like catch it. I don't think I yell at the players to do things acknowledging that they can actually hear me.
Oh, we got a hit.
As it'll be 2-0 now for the... Oh, no, he got thrown out at first. Or at home.
Oh, that's...
Never mind. I lied. That's the new guy, France.
They got him playing first base. So is Vladdy DHing tonight?
I'll check the lineup card. Jays, it's still 1-0 because France got thrown out at home plate. Let's get to...
That was a bad turn.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats story going into Saturday's game against the Rough Riders. Rick Zamperin is the play-by-play voice on the Ticats Audio Network after a sellout in Hamilton over the weekend. Rick, I'm sure Tiger Cat fans made sure that Luke Wilson heard about it.
Gentlemen, honor and a privilege to be on the show once again. I'm sure Luke heard that loud and clear. I think he was betting a couple of fans as well that, listen,
yeah, he was.
The Ticats sell out, I'll give you some game-worn gloves, and if they don't, then you know the Ticats deserve his illustrious dead last ranking in the CFL in terms of fandom. But man, oh man, the fans came out and they were loud. They were proud. Unfortunately, at the end of the night, did not transpire into a W, but they had a lot of fun. I can tell you that.
Since we're on it, the Luke Wilson conversation, were there any celebrations in Hamilton when Luke announced yesterday that he was going to take a break from tweeting about the CFL?
If there was, I don't know about them, that's for sure. But listen, he's stirred the pot. He's creating conversation. Yeah. From that standpoint, it's great. You know, the tact might be a little off as far as I'm concerned, but hey, he's getting paid to do a job, and you know, he's doing it on his terms, I guess.
Of course, here in Saskatchewan, we're talking about this matchup being a potential Grey Cup preview. Rick, how hyped is this game getting in Hamilton?
Yeah, it's big time hype. You know, especially with you know this team being still in first place in the East Division at the midway point of the year. Drastically different where this team was last year at this time, that's for sure. They were looking for answers. They were looking for a spark. They were looking for improvement after a brutal start to the campaign. And this year has been almost the complete opposite. I mean, a lot of the personnel is the same, but they're just winning the ball games that they just ended up losing for one reason or another last season. But you know, exceptional play from Bo Levi Mitchell. The addition of Kenny Lawler has been fantastic. The defense has been, you know, way better than it was last year. Special teams has been amazing. The coaching staff from last year to this year, not many changes apart from Brett Monson coming on board. So it's a well-oiled machine, and they're getting the W's this year that they didn't last year. I think that has created a lot of excitement in Steeltown. I don't know if the fans are sold on, you know, this is going to be the year. There's some that are in that boat for sure, but there are those, and you guys have come across these fans that are the internal pessimists that, you know, something's going to go wrong.
Oh, we don't see any of those in the CFL, Rick.
Yeah, we have our bunch of those as well. But I think cautiously optimistic is the right term to use.
So, Rick, you brought up Kenny. So let's stay there for just a second. Just based on the last couple of games, it looks like teams have been focusing a little more of their attention on Kenny and double-teaming him, which means Bo's had to move the ball around. Has there been a target? Has there been somebody else that has sort of stepped into that role and taken become maybe one of Bo's favorite targets?
Yeah, you are right. Lawler has been double teamed. It happened a few weeks ago where teams were like, listen, we can't let this guy beat us because he's beating every other team so badly with 100 plus yards and, you know, multiple receptions, big time touchdowns.
Yeah.
So defenses started to tweak, as defenses will. They got to take away, you know, the biggest weapon. But Bo Levi has found in back-to-back games, Keandre Smith, who had 138 receiving yards in back-to-back games, he scored, I think it's 4 touchdowns in the last 5 games. Tim White has had some exceptional performances as well. You know, the run game is slowly starting to get there. So if they can add that phase and get to an elite level in terms of running the football or even catching it out of the backfield, I think that'll be another weapon that Mitchell can take advantage of. But Kenny still remains the big target for both the offense and the defense. But when he's not getting the ball, those other guys are making plays. So that's a great sign.
Rick Zamperin joining us, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, to get you set for the Family Day game, nearing a sellout. For the Tiger Cats and the Riders is the best team in the East to take on the best team in the CFL, the 7-1 Riders. Focusing in on Bo, it was almost 365 days ago, almost exactly, when he lost the starter's job for a week.
Yeah, he got benched.
Because Taylor Powell got injured. What flipped, or was it that knock to the ego for Bo Levi Mitchell? When he gets the ball back, he hasn't looked back, and he's been MOP caliber at the back half of last year and definitely at the start of this season.
Yeah, I would say without a doubt, I mean, in my opinion, which might be just a little biased because I'm around him more often than any other quarterback, that's for sure, it is that he's been the best quarterback in the league, bar none, since he got benched. And it was, I wouldn't say it was weird at the time, because I don't think many people at that point in time, at least in Hamilton, thought, okay, this is the wrong move, because he was turning the ball over. They were, you know, 2-whatever at that standpoint, and things just were not progressing the way that head coach Scott Milanovic wanted them to progress. And let's not forget that Milanovic is also the offensive coordinator, so he's in the quarterback's ear all the time. And so when that happened, we thought, okay, this kind of makes sense. You know, Taylor Powell is the presumed next guy to take the torch in Hamilton. And then he gets hurt in his first start, and Bo's back in there. And, you know, he has a great game, but, you know, the losses continue to mount at the end of the day, or at the end of the season. They had too many losses and didn't qualify for the playoffs. But Bo in the offense was way better in the second half last year than it was in the first half. And then throughout this season, it has been exceptionally well, you know, leading the league in touchdowns and yards and all the, you know, the fancy stats. I think, you know, I asked him at the time, and I even asked him late last year, that, you know, what was it that propelled you into being the old Bo, quote unquote? And he basically, and I'm paraphrasing, said that, listen, this was a gut check. This was a, okay, you know, this happened in Calgary with Jake Mayer taking over with the Stampeders, and now at 35 years of age, this is happening again. I think when he got that other opportunity, when Taylor Powell went down, that he knew that this was his time. This might have been his last shot at, you know, leading a team to not only the playoffs, but the Grey Cup. And I think he took it as a personal challenge to say, all right, I'm giving it my all. And ever since then, he has been, you know, the future Hall of Famer that we all saw, you know, years ago in Calgary.
So our discussion today, and we'll take your bias into consideration here, Rick, is going to be revolving around who's your MOP. If we're handing that out right now in the CFL, who is it? Is it Bo or Trevor, or is it somebody else? Are you giving it to Bo ahead of Trevor right now?
I'm giving it to Bo ahead of Trevor, yes. I think Saskatchewan overall has a better team in terms of all three phases of the game, and we're seeing that week in and week out. I think Hamilton's right there. And I think this could be a Grey Cup preview. I'd love to see these two teams battling it out in Winnipeg in November. But I just think the way Bo has, just gotten everybody involved in the offense, the explosive, exciting plays, the 50-plus points against their arch rivals in Toronto. I mean, those are all kind of special moments. And I just think that redemption story, when you're voting at the end of the year, you kind of take that into consideration to say, I think he deserves it. But listen, Trevor Harris is having a phenomenal season as well. And if he won it, I would not be surprised because he's having a great campaign.
Oh, well, if it is the Tiger Cats and the Rough Riders in the Grey Cup, I think Rider fans would take that. They've had some decent history over the last little bit.
I take that.
Half their championships are actually against the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Almost vice versa.
2 of 4. Of course. Although in the 60s, let's not talk about the 60s and the Grey Cups in favor of the Hamilton side. But going into this week and this game, of course, Rick, with these two teams, how much do the Tiger Cats learn from week two? And, like, does that burn them a little bit? On, okay, that would be, after that game, they want a stretch of 6 straight wins. Like, do they go, we are way better than the team that played the Riders 5-6 weeks ago?
Yeah, and I think even after the week two loss, talking to some of the guys, I think they felt that they were close to getting, victories in both of the first two games. I know they lost, lopsidedly against the Stampeders, but they were right in it until, a couple of key moments in that game. And same for the game here against the Rough Riders. If you take out, and these are easy to say now, but if you take out the 47-yard touchdown run by A.J. Ouellette, which was absolutely impressive, stiff-arming Deshaun Amos to the ground and, waltzing into the end zone, and then Harris and Keyshawn Johnson picking on Destin Talbert in the fourth quarter to get a remarkable touchdown drive to take the lead and eventually win the game, you take those kind of two moments out of the game, and let's not forget Roland Milligan's pick six, I think it was 64 yards. I mean, those are three huge moments. If those three plays go the Tie Cats' way, we're talking about maybe the Tie Cats being 7-2 and Sask being, 6-2. But it's those moments in every game. There's 3, 4, 5 plays in a game that will decide who wins and who loses. And on that night, Saskatchewan made the plays when it counted most. So I think there is there's certainly resilience in Hamilton. They've staged some crazy comebacks like the game in BC. They've, put the boots to some opponents like they have against the Argonauts, beaten Ottawa already twice. But now they have to prove, I think, to us in the media, the fans, and maybe even to themselves, that they can beat teams with winning records. Yeah, they beat Montreal, but again, they didn't have Davis Alexander. Can they beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Can they take on the Stampeders and get the W in a couple of weeks' time when they take on them? Those are going to be, I think, the moments going forward that we are going to maybe anoint this Ticats team as a legit Grey Cup contender. I think they're probably ahead of teams like, obviously, Toronto and Ottawa, and certainly a few teams out west. But they got to prove to a lot of people that they can beat, some really good teams.
And we'll see if they can do it this weekend against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I'm picking the Riders. You're picking the Riders, Locker?
I did, yes.
The Week 11 action begins Thursday in the Canadian Football League.
Here's my thought on that. This team has been fixing the minimal problems that they have through the course of this season, right? You're seeing improvement every week with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And I think that slow start after a bye week is something they're concentrating on. There is nothing to suggest that this team isn't going to continue to work on the things that they need to work on. And they're very methodical about it. You've got a very methodical approach from this coach. And I like the fact that they put the pads on today with the intention of fixing that slow start from that loss to the Calgary Stampeders earlier on in the season. Boom, they're going to do it, and they're going to take over right out of the gates on Saturday afternoon.
Coming up next, Champs and Chumps. Our chump is a crying baby, and our champ is someone I believe Locker has called a crybaby before. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Our chump, we're going to go to the Cincinnati Open tennis tournament last night.
It's a child. Do you want me to send the child out of the stadium?
Yes. That is a bunch of people going,
we
yes.
We can't chump the kid, though.
We're not chumping the kid. Of course we can't chump the kid. We're chumping the parent for not removing them. It was like 5 to 10 minutes this kid was yelling and screaming and throwing a tantrum at a tennis tournament until Emma Raducanu went, can we do something about this? Because, you know, before a serve, everybody's like, shh, tennis is happening. Was being heard in the background. I've heard some babies cry in my time, as have you.
I do have a tip that I probably can't share here on the radio.
Yeah, let's not.
For crying babies. It works. It works.
Our chump, the parents, for not removing the child from the stadium. Meanwhile, I couldn't believe it, but Locker wanted to champ Brady Tkachuk today.
This wasn't my idea.
No, it was your idea.
People really think I'm going to send them money, like, for not like the shots. I'm more pissed that, like, didn't win the game or score or whatever it may be. Like, right. I could care less about not hitting the four and a half or whatever the cover is for the bet. So, like, people really think I care about your parlay.
Yeah, his Venmo account had been taken over. He had to change it because people want money because he didn't hit their prop bets for shots in
the
game.
Do I really care
hit.
About your parlay? I will give him some points for saying that out loud. I really don't care about your parlay.
Locker.
It is a Tkachuk, though.
Champing a Tkachuk today. That's it's very big of you.
I'm growing as a person. Not really.
I think I've been a good influence. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. The Jays are up 1-0 on the Chicago Cubs, although the Cubbies have a man on first and third with two out in the top of the third right now. Local ball, Cairns Field's the place to be in about an hour. First pitch, the Berries and the Red Sox. Of course, the game three, decisive game three in this set. Winner will take on Sylvan Lake for the WCBL championship. Also, the Riders back at practice. No real injury news. Sam Emil is still out. Keegan Schaefer Baker's still out. So pretty much looks like the same lineup. Going to face the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Saturday as they're tracking towards a sellout. That's it for us. Of course, a double take with Daryl Davis tomorrow right here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.